This free program is paid for by the listener members of KPFT Houston. If you're not already a member, think about joining with us to help keep free speech alive.
Great deal to me, and I always, you know, feel like a big superstar for a good week after that. So, and sometimes longer. So thank you so much once again, and it's time for After Hours.
So long.
We'll see you in 2 weeks.
You're listening to Pacifica Radio, KPFT, Houston 90.1 FM, and Galveston 89.5 FM.
Myself excited. It's a party now, and I'm the only one invited. Standing tall at full attention, gazing at my own reflection. Yeah, you know, without a doubt.
As much as I love you.
The following program contains subject matter that portrays gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgendered people as first-class citizens, deserving of an equal share of the American dream. Topics like this are known to piss off televangelists, backwater preachers, some talk show hosts, blue-haired biddies, several members of Congress, and other socially unacceptable outcasts like radical right-wing nut jobs. Listener discretion is strongly advised.
You have tuned into After Hours Queer Radio with Attitude, a continuing tradition here on KPFT 90.1 FM. The crew of After Hours is ready to bring you news, interviews, discussions, and music geared to the gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender community and our allies. We are a diverse group here, but we all have one thing in common. We are out of the closet and urge everyone to come out of his or her closet as well. That means recognizing who you are, standing up for yourself and your rights, and being proud of who you are. We understand that this might not be possible due to age, job, or frame of mind, but remember, we are here especially for you. So kick back and relax and get ready for this week's edition of After Hours.
Hello, Houston, Galveston, and the world. This is the May 17th edition of After Hours, Queer Radio with Attitude. My name is Chris Harrison. I'll be your co-executive producer for this evening.
And I'm Jimmy Carper. I'm the other one.
Enough of that motion. We don't do that on the show anymore.
We sure don't.
Breathe. That's better.
Well, I'm glad to be back.
Not so tight.
I had a wonderful weekend at the PWA camp out, tramping through the woods.
And occasionally you walk.
And I did some walking, too. And here's Merlin.
Hi.
Hi. How you doing?
I'm fine.
I might as well say it on the air. I missed Merlin's birthday party, which was today.
Yes, it was.
Which explains the evil look he's giving you.
Yeah.
Usually that evil look's reserved for me.
You see, yesterday, my friend Judy had her foot surgery.
Right.
And she is now ensconced on my sofa for the next 2 months.
Oh, dear God, not again.
I know. And this afternoon, she had complications.
Uh-huh.
And we had to give her some pain medication, which made her loopy and sick all at the same time.
Loopier.
And I couldn't leave her.
Understand.
Okay.
It's okay.
I'm sorry.
I told you. If I didn't see you there, I was going to see you here anyhow.
Yeah, and hit me over the head. We had made preparations for her niece to be with her while I'm here at After Hours. But her niece wasn't there yet. And neither were any of my neighbors. I know.
You've had a day.
I know. And there's a bag on the table for you.
Well, thank you.
It's the blue one.
I missed Jess.
Yes.
I didn't miss him.
Yes, you did. There were 3 spots on your shirt.
I told you what those were.
Yes, you did, Miss Lewinsky.
Oh, and that's the thing. Oh, okay.
Anyway, I am neither confirming nor denying. So there.
Well, I know they finished the glazed donuts before you got over to them, so that ain't it.
I got the last one, yeah.
Gee, what a surprise.
Well, tonight we should have Black on Black.
And we should have ICOH.
And we should have ICOH. I talked with some folks at ICOH last night, and they said they would be here. But that was 24 hours ago. And, you know, there's shows and things going on in between. So we'll,
drink specials.
We will see.
So, that's not the kind of pose you expect from Christian pop singers, do you?
Well, they're not Christian pop singers anymore.
Oh. They were defrocked?
No, they had to give it up. Once they came out, they were persona non grata in the Christian music world. We're talking about Jason and DeMarco. And so now they've got a CD out with really beautiful melodies. The one that I picked, it's my favorite off the CD. It's called Falling. And the name of the CD is...
Till the End of Time.
Till the End of Time. And there's some beautiful photographs of the two of them.
Yeah, they're all orange.
One being rather Greek-looking with curly, long curly hair, and the other very Nordic-looking with very blonde hair.
Yes, blonde hair, blue eyes. I felt myself being invaded just seeing the picture. And, I'm Polish, so treat me like it's September 1939 in Blitzkrieg.
Ouch. I think it's more Nordic than...
Well, they invaded, too, which was later on.
Okay. Anyway, and before that, you played...
Naked.
That's the name of the group.
Yeah. Nekked.
Yes.
.net.
Spell that again.
Nekked.
ED or ID?
ED.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
.net.
Okay.
And the song was How Come You Don't Love Me?
I love that song. They've got several really good tunes going for them. That's a good group.
Yeah.
I like them. Yeah, so anyway, things going on in the community. First of all, yes.
713-526-5738.
Oh, yes.
It's pledge drive time.
It is.
Yes. We had.
See, I was away for a week.
It wasn't started last week. This is the first time.
Well, I've been away. Stanley was in town. Judy had her operation. You know, it's been a week, okay?
My God, he finally has some excuse to bring in here.
713-526-5738 with your pledge of support for After Hours and KPFT.
And hopefully someone will answer the phone.
Yes, someone's out there.
Well, you know, Big Roy isn't here.
And David's still sick. He called me this week. David of David and John fame. And David is the one who makes the coffee and does the paperwork around here, you know, stuff we hate to do. And so, and he just kind of watches over the place, keeps an eye out, and, you know, lets me know, those boys are doing blah, blah, blah out there. Maybe you should, you know, that kind of thing. So I really miss him being around. He's sorely missed here. And what his problem was is he had acid reflux, and because of it, he had a problem with his esophagus. I think it burned a hole in his esophagus.
Yeah, sometimes that'll happen. It comes up too far.
Yeah.
And
so he's been on a very limited diet. There's very little he can eat without it being very painful. So the poor boy's lost like probably 15, 20 pounds. Told him he had to get suspenders because he can't keep his pants up now.
The way he talks around here, he doesn't keep his pants up that often.
Stop. David, you are missed if you are listening. And David said, he might get to come back next week.
Ah.
So I'm looking forward to that. I really am. And last night, I went to a benefit show put on by the very new Mr. Houston At Large U.S. of A. for 2008-2009, Mr. Valentino Capri from the House of Capri. And this was a benefit show to help send him to Mr. Gay Texas At Large U.S. of A. in San Antonio in the next few weeks. That was at Tony's Corner Pocket. Of the 817 West Dallas fame. Ooh. that was a tremendous show. Most of the entertainers were from the House of Capri, of which Valentino is a member, and one of the MCs of the show, Artrail Capri, who MC'd the show along with Gemini Empress Rose of ICOH. But some of the performers, Lestat Capri, Odyssey Capri, Ajane Capri, and Angelou Capri, and other Capris, I was just, maybe I don't understand the House of Capri, but evidently you have to be an entertainer to be a member, because they are all have stage presence and knew their number. Everybody knew the words to the songs.
Blasphemy.
I know.
So something besides just having to wear a pant length of 3/4.
Yeah. Well, a lot of the members are male, and I mean male in male dress, and do fantastic numbers with, you know, the footwork, and I mean, just, you know, that they have been practicing and they know their music, especially Valentino. He has always been one of the most professional people I've ever seen on stage for, you know, lip syncing. I can understand why he won the Mr. Houston at Large US of A pageant. When he said he was going to be running for it, I just knew he'd get it, because I've been watching him for a couple of years now. Anyway, I had a great time at that last night. So anytime you see a Capri advertised as being in the show, go to it. You will have a good time. Now, something else I want to mention. Southern Country Houston presented AIDS Foundation Houston, Camp Hope, with a check in the amount of $5,100 Thursday, May 15th at the Brazos River Bottom. Southern Country Houston, founded in 1991, is country western dance nonprofit 501c3 organization, and it provides dance workshops, community service, and fundraising activities. Camp Hope was selected for Southern Country Houston beneficiary for the 2007 and 8 fundraising year. AIDS Foundation Houston introduced Camp Hope in July of 1996 as the first camp in Texas designed specifically for children ages 7 to 15 with HIV/AIDS. Since its inaugural year, the camp has expanded from a 3-day summer pilot program to a full-week program that has served 1,300 kids over the last 11 years. I think that's admirable work, and I've been to the camp. It's just an amazing facility out there. It's called Camp for All. And Camp Hope is the group that has the kids with AIDS, and they have, I think, 2 different weeks a year that they take kids there. And other weeks they have kids with cancer, kids with, you know, whatever disease it is.
Sure.
So the kids can
be kids.
Be kids and not, you know, hang out with other people, other kids who have the same disease, and not feel like a freak.
Yeah.
Much in the same way as I did last weekend going to the PWA camp out. We got 150 guys out there, all of them with HIV. So for a glorious 3 days, you can just kind of not feel freakish, because everybody is just like you. It really makes a difference in your life.
You can all time your med taking together.
Yeah, all that.
Also, thing with Southern Country, free dance lessons are going on in May every Thursday.
Really?
On May 22nd, you can learn line dance, shake yourself loose, couples dance, and two-step.
Cool.
No partner is required, and that's Thursday from 8 to 10:30 over at the BRB, Brazos River Bottom, 2400 Brazos.
That's right. That Southern Country it's not just the dance troupe that does benefits and shows, but they also do teaching and fundraising. So, yeah, that helps a lot. A couple other things going on. Theater New West is featuring the Vagina Monologues with a unique twist, because they're doing it with a transgender cast. That's happening Fridays and Saturdays, May 9th through the 31st at, where?
The Montrose Counseling Center, I believe.
Okay.
What is it? 3401 Brainerd?
401 Bernard. People pronounce that street differently. I've always heard it pronounced Bernard. B-R-A-N-A-R-D.
That's the wonderful thing about Houston. You can have a street named and give it four or five different names. It's the same spelling.
Yeah.
I'm from the northwest area of Houston, so we're familiar with the Kuykendall, Kirkendall, Kuykendall, Kuykendall.
Yes. And also, Unhinged Productions presents the Houston premiere of the riotous electronic musical Saucy Jack and the Space Vixens. Can you imagine? It runs May 30th through June 21st at Silver House Theater. That is... they don't even give me a location for that. Yes, they do. Silver House Theater, 1107 Chartres Street, Houston, Texas. And Chartres would run right along the edge of the freeway there, downtown.
Which freeway? There's like four freeways that run through downtown.
I don't know one of them. It runs parallel to Main Street, about five, six, seven streets over. There you go. To the east. Got that? I cannot tell you the ticket price, but it's, you know, it's what you would expect. And as the show begins, Volva Savanna, promising entertainer and torch song singer, is the latest victim of the slingback killer. The heel of a murderous shoe plunged into her youthful chest.
Yes, we know it's cold in here.
Enter the Space Vixens, interstellar super fashion crime fighters here to save the day by the power of disco. They hit the ground singing with the explosive house anthem, Glitter Boots Saved My Life. And it goes on from there.
Oh, God.
That sounds like a lot of fun. What have you got over there?
Besides a headache? Actually, I had it before that, but...
Yeah, sorry. Actually, I'm going to go see that. That just suits... May 31st through June 21st. That's the same... May 30th is the same night that Theater Suburbia has their brand-new show opening up. And we will have them here on the 31st, the last Saturday of the month. They will be here.
With Lisa. She'll be hanging
out. She's just going to hang out after a show. And, hey.
Oh, goody. That means she can use her words on our show.
No, she can't. No. We have a late-second delay.
Please join us for celebrating a happy anniversary day.
Yes.
Celebrating Susan Hayes and Sherry Harrell's third anniversary. That's like 21 and dog years.
Ooh.
And Sabrina Sims' birthday. She's 21 again. It's true.
Oh, my God. That must be about the 40th time.
Well, knowing Jim, I had to double check. You know, it could have been true, and it's just giving me another old email. Wouldn't be the first time.
Yes.
Wouldn't
be
the last.
No problem.
This will be happening on Sunday.
Sunday.
May 18th at 8 p.m. over at Tony's Corner Pocket.
Mm.
There'll be a raffle, food, Jello shots for charity.
Mm-hmm.
And when I think of charitable contributions, I always think of Jello and vodka.
There you go. Well, Crystal Rayleigh Love is one of the MCs, so you know there's going to be Jello shots. It's in her contract. She won't MC unless they have Jello shots.
Oh, I thought you were going to say, she hoard out to Jello faster than Bill Cosby. A fundraising event for the Charities of the Empire, the Royal Sovereign Imperial Court of the Single Star Incorporated Houston, and the PWA Holiday Charities.
Ereses.
Dragging
out the ledger?
Hold on, Let's stay at Tony's here.
Okay.
For Tony's Corner Pocket presents Tony's Corner Divas.
Ah.
featuring Lillian Devereaux, Anne Marie Gill, Selena St. John. I was thinking, is it Anne? Because there's no double A. There's no second N.
I know, but they do say Anne Marie.
Anne. It's like Anne should be A-N-N or A-N-N-E. You know, you add on.
Well,
then again, it is a drag queen. You never add on, you take away.
they add on. Like leg pads, hip pads, breast, you know.
Okay, well, she duct taped the front end.
She used to spell it differently, but everybody calls her Anne Marie.
Marcia McGill and Regina Dane. That happens on Wednesdays at 9 p.m. at Tony's Corner Pocket, which is
every Wednesday,
817 West Dallas.
Yep.
Switching over to the Imperial Court of Houston, Space City Empire. Hail to the Queen Mom. With your host, Sean Carter, a.k.a. Gemini Empress 1, Queen Mother Reign 6. A couple other titles in there. Well, the paper's only 8.5 by 11, so they had to stop at some point.
Okay.
Chanel Cartier.
Yes.
And Gemini Empress Rose, and that's also on Sunday.
Sunday.
May 18th at the Brazos River Bottom, 7:30 p.m.
That's a fundraiser for Bering Omega. Dental clinic and hospice.
I screwed up. This was in a recess. I should have done it beforehand. Dragging Out the Leather, hosted by Imperial Prince 24 Falcon, will be on Saturday, May 24th, 9 p.m. at the Ripcord. That's right, ladies and gentlemen. Drag at the Ripcord.
There has been some controversy over that. Woo-wee. Some of those boys are not happy.
Love controversy, though.
I know it.
Yeah, let's see.
I know. Every Wednesday EJ's ICOH does the midweek madness show, which is a cute little jukebox show. This week,
but since they don't have a jukebox, you had to change names.
Well, yes, actually they do have a jukebox, but they've been doing it on computer and stuff. I don't, you know me, I don't know. They just the music comes out and people lip sync. That's all I know.
which is how you're used to the kind of music you hear on the soundtrack on that you get on your computer, but they're usually lip syncing something else.
Yes, they are.
Besides words.
They're lipping something. What else is with ICOH?
I don't know. Hey,
you have the schedule.
Hey, hold on. Let's ask them since it is their segment.
Hello.
Thank you. Okay.
Oh God.
I believe in equal time, so if you listen to last week's show, you'll find out I did the same damn thing last week.
Oh, you mean Arisa's didn't show up either?
Bingo!
Oops.
I don't know. Was I supposed to be more diplomatic when I got that title in the community?
No.
Oh, good.
Okay.
I wanted to get to some sort. Where's the whip stuff? You didn't hand me whips.
It's still here.
That's next Sunday.
Well, there's a couple of things going on. Now,
okay, so we're going back to you?
I am going to go to the whips thing, but I do want you to talk about that while I talk about the Stella Link Seville Pride Pageant, which is going on next week, too. It is great pleasure that the Board of Directors of the Stella Link Seville Pride Pageants announces the 2008 Ms. Gay Pride Houston pageant. The event will be held at the Burb, the BRB, located at 2400 Brazos, May 25th.
Just look at the tail end of the bunny.
With the contest beginning at 7 o'clock p.m. Candidates must have their applications turned in at the BRB no later than 6 o'clock p.m. It's not attached. With great pride, the Board
Another
of Directors...
Another drag joke?
Is also pleased to announce that this year's beneficiary will be the Montrose Counseling Center Capital Campaign. The board has made a commitment to raise $5,000 toward the Capital Campaign, which allows us to name a room at the Counseling Center in honor of the Pride Pageant founder, Miss Stella Link Seville. The room will be decorated with all of Stella memorabilia, so she will continue to touch lives just as she did when she was here on Earth. Please join us in the event of the year, Remembering Stella with Pride. That's next Sunday night, right?
25th
at the BRB, 7 p.m. Also, next Sunday is...
The Whips Society anniversary,
but that's
on
during the day.
And night. They'll be at Mary's Naturally at 10 a.m. to 1 p.m.
Okay.
For brunch and drink specials. Yeah. Then at night, they'll be over at Tony's Corner Pocket from 7 to 11 for dinner and cocktail receptions.
Oh.
The Whip Society, you heard them here a couple months ago on our Leather Tie segment. And they are celebrating their 10th anniversary and their the hanging of their colors at their second bar, Tony's Corner Pocket.
Yes.
So you can find more information about them at whipsociety.net, WIPsociety.net.
Cool. The Colts, this is hopping to June the 8th. But I want people to know that beforehand because it's about the Colt 45s, and those are, I really love that group. The Colt 45's 32nd anniversary, that's a long time to be around for an organization in the gay community.
Yeah, I was about to add they're in the gay community. That's 100 and straight years.
It is. Colt 45's 32nd anniversary is June 8th, 2008, at 8 p.m. at the Brazos River Bottom. Food, show, and awards. The Colt 45s is a 501c3 charity founded in 1976. 30 years at the BRB. 20 years of the Colt 45 AIDS Trouble Fund, helping PWAs with rent and utility assistance. For more information, dubcubed.colt45s.org. Okay, that's it for announcements.
Hey, you know, we're getting close to 1 month away to Pride Houston.
Are we now?
Yes, June 28th, 30th anniversary of Gay Pride.
My goodness.
The continuing tradition in the Montrose.
My God, and I have been marching in every Pride parade since 1988. Wow. And
marching my ass. They drag your ass in a car or a truck or a trailer.
Well, they have in the last few years. Yeah, I have to admit that's true. I'm an old bitch, so, you know. You know when it started?
Huh.
When I was male Grand Marshal, and I got to ride one year, and I thought, hey, I like this crap. Why should I walk again?
Oh. Hey, we know who the male Grand... I didn't hear the announcement of who was nominated, who was named for Marshals.
Yeah, that was kind of low-key.
Yeah.
Who was it?
The male Grand Marshal is a friend of the show, Dalton DeHart.
Yes.
Female Grand Marshal Kelly McCann.
Oh, and Kelly is the big poobah over at AIDS Foundation Houston.
Honorary Grand Marshal is Julie Eberle.
Uh-huh. That's a straight woman.
Yeah.
That's a straight segment.
Yeah, I'm reading what it is there. Development Director from AIDS Foundation. Did we have the voting at the AIDS Foundation Houston? Because she's Developmental Director of AIDS Foundation Houston, and the Organizational Grand Marshal is AIDS Foundation Houston.
Well, what do you know? No, we didn't have the voting there.
Oh. I was trying to reword Dalton's affiliation was with them, but hey.
But he's taken lots of pictures of AIDS Foundation Houston events. How's that? So everybody's related, but that's the way it is kind of in the gay community, you know. Nobody wears just one hat. People who are activists in the community... normally are in more than one organization. It just kind of happens. Like you, for instance. Big Men's Club, and now you are a big poobah in the HCC. You are one of the... You're on the executive committee.
Vice chair.
Well...
When it comes to vice, you know what?
That's why they chose you. And besides, you replaced Rose, right?
Yes. My campaign slogan was keeping tits on the board.
That's right. In fact, there's a bigger pair now.
And I actually do a dress more often than she does.
Ooh, ouch. Ouch. No, now that she's empress, she's been wearing a lot of dresses. Is it time for more music?
I hope not, because I don't have anything planned.
Oh, God. Oh, God.
I know. I'll play what I was originally playing at the beginning.
Okay. Do we have a Black on Black segment?
I think so.
Oh, my God!
Who do you think came in and was complaining?
I don't... I am such a dunce. I'm sorry.
Oh, wait a minute. Hold on. Before you say that again, let's play a newsflash sound for that. All right, let's play a little music. Step out, and while we...
Yes?
I got to queue up...
Yes, you do.
You didn't bring it?
Oh, he didn't bring his opening song and closing song.
I had
song.
Repairs that to my car and took it out and I forgot to put it back.
Oh.
Then can I make a suggestion? Take Me to Heaven by Sylvester.
Oh, Take Me to Heaven.
Actually, I think that one CD... Oh, wait.
Do we still have that CD?
Played it last week.
Oh.
Jimmy wasn't here, so I was able to play Sylvester.
What? What?
What happened?
I always play Sylvester. He's of my generation. Hello.
So's Beethoven, but we don't play him.
Beethoven was.
We do play Tchaikovsky.
Tchaikovsky was gay.
Yes, he was.
Because you like going down, down, down.
Yes.
I'm trying to find a shorter song.
No,
on
that's
here.
Going down, down, down.
Just
down.
Play a song, you know.
Well, I'll cut. Yeah. I'll do like a drag performer. I'll just tuck it later.
Black leather.
Virgo with Black Leather. So I think you're only going to hear on After Hours. And it's what you're listening to. This is After Hours, Queer Radio with Attitude. We are in our pledge drive right now. So, you can't hear me? Try checking the volume on the... So, we are in the middle of our pledge drive here on After Hours and at KPFT, and we need for you to call in your pledge of support at 713-526-5738, 713-JAM-KPFT. You can also go online to kpft.org, place your pledge of support there safely and securely, and in the comment section, just put on there you want it to go towards After Hours. And we would appreciate that. It's time now for our Black on Black segment. You're on. I don't have your music.
I know. I did it. If I was in better voice, I'd actually try to sing it, but that's not going to happen. I'm having very bad sinus issues, allergy, or whatever you want to call them. But please, if you're able, call in and pledge. We would certainly appreciate it. And thank you for joining us this morning. My guest bailed out about 1:15 this morning. So we are minus a guest, but this show must go on. So I certainly thank you for joining us. New in the news, we are certainly looking forward to the general elections coming in November. I certainly am. Is there still all the hoopla about Hillary dropping out or staying in, or...
Oh, they're still trying to tell her to...
I think she should stay in the fight. It's certainly the American thing to do.
Well, you know, like the one thing that she said there about it is, you know, we're the party that we want to have every vote count.
Exactly.
Yeah, you know, unlike the other sides who like to steal and cheat, and although once again Florida's all screwed up with their votes. But it's an interesting point where we're at in history that we've got these type of candidates
exactly
running, and it's we don't know what's going to happen. And then when you hear some of the comments by some of the people about Barack, did you happen to watch the Daily Show? I guess it was Wednesday night.
Uh-huh.
And they were showing reports from people who were interviewed in West Virginia and of why they voted for Hillary over Barack. You know, John Stewart usually has a little part of a routine where he drinks a sip of water out of a coffee cup and spits it out because he's unbelievable what they're saying.
Uh-huh.
Well, after they got done with the people from West Virginia, he put out a bottle of Jack Daniels and started chugging. Some of the comments of these toothless...
He said
I wouldn't say trailer park because... I wouldn't demean people who lived in trailer parks by lumping these people in with them. It was astounding that these people would say this on camera.
I actually didn't see... I didn't see any of that, and I had no idea. I saw the lone Black person, though, at the Hillary rally in the yellow shirt, the one that looked like he had been paid off. So, but... That was certainly my opinion, but I'm certainly looking forward to the elections. I think she should stay in. Please stay in and fight to the bitter end. I'm thinking that he's going to go with Edwards as his running mate. I really, really...
Well, I think I think I saw something where Edwards saying he doesn't want to run. He doesn't want vice president.
Oh, he's a lie.
But, I mean, didn't he drop out with being vice president last time because his wife was suffering from cancer?
I don't think she's... I think she's well now.
She's well now.
She might be better. Unless she has, like, a hangnail or something, then that might become an issue.
Well, yeah, I mean...
to fall out again.
It would make sense because they like to have... Quite often they try and have a...
I'll go ahead and say...
A vice presidential candidate who kind of balances off... the presidential candidate. You know, you've got a northern Black man running, it would be for president, and so you need more of a southern white man to counterbalance it. Yeah. LBJ was the, you know, the southern, more conservative balance for JFK, you know.
Because, you know, they are not going to let two of us in the office at the president and vice president. Someone said Al Sharpton should be his running mate. I doubt that will work. Yeah.
I lost respect for him when he sat on the couch with Pat Robertson.
I saw that.
Although I do love his Cuban diet that he went on. You know, you go down and go, where was it? Cuban, was it Puerto Rican? He went down and he was, had a hunger, he did a
hunger strike.
It was either outside of Guantanamo or outside of a naval base in Puerto Rico.
What?
And, you know, that's when he started, you know, where he got down to the size where he no longer needed the track suits. He could actually wear a real suit.
You need help. He needs to get rid of that perm, too. I would love to see. And he actually said he would get rid of it once James Brown was buried and in his grave. But unfortunately, actually, he still isn't. He's still sitting in an ice box in one of his children's backyard until all of the legal or legalities can be settled.
Well, they better hurry up because, you know, the Memorial Day picnics are starting up, and you'd hate that. You know.
But, it, I mean, that's what, December of when? December of last year? He passed away?
Yes, it's been a while.
It's been a while, but he's still not in the ground yet. But I want to send out a happy birthday to Willie. Had a wonderful time at the birthday party. All of the gentlemen that were there, I certainly appreciated the camaraderie and the love and the togetherness that was present. And I am certainly overjoyed and filled each time we all come together like that. So I certainly look forward to that happening again and soon. And again, Willie, happy birthday. It's been a wonderful experience getting to know you and allowing me to participate in that on this evening. Wonderful time. There are some certain jokesters in the group, but your amusement was certainly appreciated and well loved and received. We are going to delve into a little bit of, I have a blog out on, well, it used to be out on Yahoo 360. It's not there anymore because Yahoo 360 sucks really bad.
How do you really feel?
Don't like it. They had a lot of bugs that they refused to fix. But one of the things in the blogs is talking about perfection. And the title of the blog is "Will Real Perfection Please Stand Up?" And in this, it talks about what is perfection. And as we go into the summertime and the gyms have filled up with people who are trying to get beach bodies ready for Miami and Cancun and other such places, it brings to mind what are we doing all of these things for, to stop them once fall arrives. But I think one of the things is that the word or the term perfection has actually received a bad rap. And I did some research on the web and in the library. And perfect is actually defined as lacking nothing essential to the whole, complete of its nature or kind, being in a state of undiminished or highest excellence, flawless, thorough, complete, undiluted, pure, excellent, and delightful in all aspects. And according to the cultural standard of perfection, you would think that it was ripped abs and 18-inch biceps, 32-inch waist, and a body for days, and an IQ that's off the chart, and $1 million in the bank account. And in actuality, that is not what perfection is. It really, in cultural standards right now, perfection is in reference to a superhuman being that fits a standardized criteria, wherein every facet of their being, personality, emotions, mentality, and physicality is without fault, or that this one person or a person that is perfect could actually meet the standards and requirements of anybody that they would happen to run into. And that's certainly not true. And in the pursuit of perfection, it often sends us on a futile journey in to be perfect and to look for a perfect person if we're in the place where we're searching for a mate. We're constantly bombarded by genetically and mechanically derived images of perfection we seek to reinvent, revamp, and alter. We're engrossed with altering our external selves with all of the crap that we get from TV. So we certainly want to push on Black on Black is that perfection is essentially anything that's complete and whole in its nature. It has nothing to do with the physical, which we've concentrated so much on. And tonight at the birthday party I was at, we were talking about relationships, which I'm a big proponent or a big fan, or I like to push relationships. And I have a dear friend of mine who has blocked off any and all potential for being in a relationship, and I think a lot of that has to do with, of course, his past experiences. And what we're trying to get him to understand is that you use your past experiences as little tidbits of wisdom going forward in your relationships. You certainly don't use it as speed bumps to where you're trying to get to. So we are going to try to have him on. I tried to get him to come on tonight after my other guest canceled, but he was a little tipsy and was afraid of what he might say on air. So I decided to let him go ahead and go home and be safe. So we are going to actually listen to a couple of tracks from Mary J. Blige and Rahsaan Patterson, whom I am certainly adore. So I think the first one we're going to listen to, Chris, is what's the song? Did I give it to you?
Rahsaan Patterson's Higher Love.
Higher Love, yes. Absolutely wonderful song. If you have not picked up this CD, please go pick up this CD. It's entitled Wine and Spirits. Still can't catch on to why it's called Wine and Spirits, but I don't know why it can alter your spirit. Maybe that's the place that he was trying to go. But we certainly want to, I want to encourage you to go pick up the CD. It's really good. And if you're listening tonight, please call in and pledge. We would certainly like to receive those pledges. And can I actually pledge on the air myself?
We'll fill out your paperwork.
Thank you. So I certainly want to contribute to the station that has been a wonderful inspiration to the community and a wonderful opportunity to me. So I certainly want to give back to KPFT in an effort to some kind of way reciprocate what it's given to me. But right now we're going to take a listen to Rahsaan Patterson, Higher Love, from the CD Wines and Spirits.
Actually, I'm doing a station ID first before I do the music.
Oh, thank you. With the voice.
Oh, yes.
Oh.
You're listening to Pacifica Radio, KPFT, Houston 90.1 FM, and Galveston 89.5 FM.
You most certainly have been made for me. I'm so glad finally love's calling. Suddenly falling down on me. Got me definitely receiving.
Thought you ought to know what I've been through. The dark times, no light in view. The night was blinding, my memory gone. And you need to keep it in my song. Oh, oh.
Me.
In my style.
So glad finally love's calling.
that was the end of it. That little leg.
That's what I thought before. That, that I blinked twice and then comes another thump.
Thank you for coming back with me on Black on Black. If you're out listening again, please call in and pledge. We are, certainly would appreciate it for all that KPFT does for the community. I would like to read to you something that I wrote to all of my black brothers. And these brothers are the brothers who I had a relationship with in my adolescence. I remember as a teenager from about the age of 10 up to about 13 or 14 in my neighborhood. We lived in Southeast Houston in the projects. And the name of the projects were called the Villa Americana, and they are still there today. And I oftentimes, occasionally throughout the year, maybe once or twice a year, will ride by the exact apartment that we spent 7 years in these projects. And it is just a reminder of how far I've come, not for any braggadocious rights or anything, but just to be grateful and to always keep in the back of my mind from whence I've came, so I don't get too big in any area of my life. But to give you a little background, we lived there for 7 years. And when we initially moved there, my mother, my sister, and I, we thought it was, for us, it was almost heaven compared to the living conditions that we had previously experienced. But over a period of time, this place deteriorated, as many other places do, that come under attack from poverty. And so we ended up with an infestation of rodents and roaches and an unclean environment. And my mom made a very willed, determined effort to move us away from there, and she did. And then we moved to Southwest Houston. But getting back to the real point of the thing is that during my 7 years living there, we moved when I was 13, I experienced a tremendous amount of teasing and mental, verbal, and some physical abuse from other black youths who lived in the same projects that I did, because I wasn't out playing all of the sports and doing some of the typical things that black males at that age do. I was teased and chased after, and that type of thing, or those experiences, haunted me for a very long time, and I held a resentment towards black men, or towards my own brother, I should say. And one day, I can't even remember the date of this, but one day I was sitting down and I was really thinking about all of that and how it affected my relationships. And I actually wrote it July 6, 2007, so kind of almost a year. But I'm going to read this letter, and this letter was an apology that I extended to those young men who at the time teased me and chased me and taunted me and shaped what my relationships would be with black men, even into my adulthood and late, well, not late adulthood, but even into my mid-30s and latter 30s. And it's entitled An Open Letter to His Brother. It says, "There is a river that runs deep inside of me. That river runs somewhere between my flesh and my spirit. This river runs swift and deep, saturated with ill feelings and a disdain that I am ashamed of but must hold claim to. I have for years silently embraced and fed a contempt that I have for my black brothers. This contempt has its origins from my childhood. As an adolescent boy, I remember not so fond memories of other black boys finding entertainment and camaraderie at the expense of my developing self-esteem and establishment of my black male relationships. I have very few good childhood memories of my relationships with black boys my own age. All of my memories consist of harsh teasings, raw eggs being thrown at me, being physically assaulted and being publicly humiliated at our apartment complex swimming pool. The only bond I had with other black males was the foot races I was forced to participate in on a daily basis in order not to get picked on or have objects thrown at me. Unbeknownst to me, not only was I running away from the threat of physical and verbal assault, I was also putting an emotional and spiritual distance between myself and my brother. Now fast forward some 25 odd years later, and that distance has grown to massive proportions. My relationships with other black males, regardless of sexuality, has been strained. I find myself uneasy and aloof around other black men, especially when the number increases beyond one or two. Although I have fostered some great relationships with a few black males, those relationships were fostered with an overwhelmingly care and specific intention on my part. I still find that I am somewhat uneasy and guarded in those relationships. My initial expectation when I enter a group of black males is severe judgment and rejection. Please understand that this in no way is in relation to any type of romantic expectation. I've just never felt acceptance from my black brothers. I've always felt that his sole intent was and is to find fault in my being, thereby denying me the satisfaction of the inner sanctum of black brotherhood. I have just within this year, which was 2006, experienced more interaction with a larger group of black men on a more casual and social basis. I'm finding the building of these relationships somewhat fearful, but gratifying at the same time. I'm finding my place and movement among these other brothers not so cumbersome as before. There is still a level of guardedness and reservation. However, as I move further and further away from my comfort zone, those obstacles become less and less influential. At this point, as I make a conscious decision to run towards my brother instead of running away from him, I accept a spiritual and universal apology from the collective spirits of all brothers, past, current, and future. I accept their apologies for the pain and isolation handed down by a few wayward souls whose childish antics brought about my adult afflictions, as I would like to issue my own public apology to all of the brothers that I have wronged by word or deed, to those brothers who heard not brotherly love fall from my lips, but vile and degrading words that gave life to the very thing that caused me my childhood pain. To every brother that I've wronged indeed, I ask and give you my sincere apology and regret for not being the brother I was supposed to be. I humbly ask for your forgiveness and offer my spiritual hand and heart as a peace offering. There is a song by a very well-known gospel artist. The words are profound, and should be the litany of all black men who value the life and spirit of other black men. And the song simply says, "I need you to survive. I won't harm you with the words from my mouth. I need you to survive. You pray for me, I'll pray for you. I need you to survive." And the portion of that song that says, "I need you to survive," I really think looks at the point that I, as one black male, need you as another black male to survive, to see myself, to have you reflected back to me. I need you to survive. And then I think that the other side of that, using the same verse, "I need you to survive," is that I need you to be strong and to live, that the world is not complete if you fade away, if you just fall by the wayside. I attempt to live by a creed that if one brother is not whole, then none of us are whole. So as a collective, I'm not whole until we're all whole. You're not whole as a brother until I'm whole. And then on the bigger scale as a community, we're not whole if one of our brothers, regardless of what his race is not whole. And if we look at it from that picture, then I think that we continue to strive to be better people, to be better men, to be better women, is that if we see ourselves as a whole, and if one person isn't, if one person's missing something, then I think we strive better when we take on that responsibility or we feel their pain. So that was my apology and my spiritual acceptance of an apology from that time period in my life, and it certainly helped me move forward. And going back to the birthday party that happened tonight, several years ago I would not have gone to that birthday party because I would have felt out of place. Again, as soon as I walked through the door, I would have been fearful of judgment, rejection, look at what he has on, you know, am I physically appealing enough for the group, not for any romantic reasons, but just I think anybody wants to feel loved and received by your own kind. You want to feel that you belong. You want to have that type of brotherhood, that type of camaraderie with people that look like you, that function like you, that walk in your circle. So I went to that birthday party tonight and had an absolutely wonderful experience and a wonderful time. And it's like being in a group of brothers. And you may not even know all of the brothers, but what's wonderful is all it takes is one person to introduce themselves, is to walk up to you and extend a hand of friendship and brotherhood, and it makes all of the difference. So if you're ever in that situation, if you're in a crowd of people and you see someone kind of standing off, looking a little fearful, come out of your comfort zone and extend yourself to that person, because it will make a world of difference to them. It certainly has made a world of difference to me, all of those brothers, through the men's gathering of Houston, which I had been a part of for such a long time, made wonderful friendships, and those men knew that just a hug or an extended handshake or an extended hug certainly could make the difference in somebody's life once we leave that establishment in that place. So again, if you're in that situation, extend yourself a simple hello, how are you, my name is, can certainly make a big difference in somebody's life, and you may be the catalyst for destructing a wall or a barrier that they've had in their lives for a very long time. So I wanted to thank you for allowing me to share that with you. And there are some other ones in here also that we will get to concerning people's preferences and perceptions and predilections, talking about how we're perceived in other people's eyes and attempting to receive value in other people's eyes. But I wanted to go to another song, Miss Jimmy, if we possibly could. And this song, absolutely love this song by Mary J. Blige. It sums up where I believe I'm at in my life right now. So I hopefully, that is not a word. Hopefully, you will share with me and what this song is relaying from Mary J. Blige, which her life has been very public. So we've been able to see her growth, and I think her music very much reflects her growth and her maturity and the love for herself. And I adopted this song for as my anthem song for 2007, and I think 2008, and hopefully I'll allow it to roll over to 2009. And this is Fine by Mary J. Blige.
You know I love music, and every time I hear something hot, it makes me want to move. It makes me want to have fun, but it's something about this joint right here. This joint right here, it makes me want to
let it go. Can't let this thing called love get away from you. Feel free right now, go do what you want to do. Can't let nobody take it away. My heart is gone.
about if you feel it. Got my head on straight, I got my vibe right. I ain't gonna let you kill it.
Fine by Mary J. Blige. Love that song. If you really have to listen to the words to really get the full impact of that, and we certainly love it. We were sitting here talking during the song choice, and I was bringing up to Jimmy, and I've brought it up on the show before, that there are instances where I will be walking and will be crossing paths with another black male, and won't speak. Still trying to discover what's behind that, what is the thought process behind that. And I picked it up because it was done to me initially, and I've just carried it forward. But it's certainly time to make a change and make a difference. And again, as I've encouraged you to come out your comfort zone, I'm certainly coming out of mine. And I don't do it as frequently and as often as I used to. I certainly try to do better. But I think the more frequent contact I have with the person, he's on my job, so I have no idea what that is, but we're certainly going to look into that. And I think the next brother to brother meeting, which is another organization here in Houston, we might certainly bring that up again at that meeting and delve into that some more. We are going through some of my blogs that I have written, and this kind of leads into what Jimmy and I were talking about. And this particular blog was written on, where's the date? It was written on April 30th, 2007. And it's entitled Constipated Communication. It says constipated communication is defined as the following: difficult, incomplete, or infrequent evacuation of coherent and logical verbally expressed thoughts, ideas, assumptions, and or requests. Brothers, we have got to learn to talk to one another. Straightforward communication is a very important skill that we do not engage in enough. We seldom ask for clarification, and we allow our assumptions to take on the role of absolute truth without examination. We have failed to learn the art of conversation regurgitation. We don't know how to effectively repeat to someone what we heard them say. We don't know how to effectively express to one another what we understand or the conclusion that we draw from what someone has said to us. I, on many occasions, have left many a brother lost in space because I refused to communicate with him after I perceived a particular conversation as whack or just downright ludicrous. I have come to understand and accept that this way of interacting is not fair and is not respectful to my other brothers. To just disappear into thin air from somebody's life is not fair, and neither is it characteristic or true manhood. Real men handle real problems in real ways. And let me stop here, because I am very much guilty today of that. I have a friend, Parker. Miss Parker, and also Larry, I need to extend an apology, because I have gone for an extremely long time without contacting you guys and calling you and letting you know what's going on in my life and why I have been unable or unwilling to talk to you. And it's simply that I've been lazy and I got really busy and said I'll call tomorrow, and tomorrow turned into the next day and the next day, and I've gone so long without calling you to see how you're doing, to check up on you, till at this point I'm actually ashamed that it's taken me so long to communicate with you, when you've both been extremely wonderful influences in my life. So I'd like to publicly apologize to you, and I make this promise on air to God and before everybody else that I'm going to call you both on tomorrow. And despite how you may feel about me at this point, or if you hang up or whatever you do, I will certainly respect you enough starting right now to give you that call tomorrow just to say hello, to say hi, and that you have been on my mind. So now that I've gotten that out of the way, I'll get back to this. It says, We have the art of people dismissal down to a science. We are comfortable hoping that people will get the message when we don't answer the phone after their 63rd call. We hope people get the hint when we don't respond to the 39th email. We hope people understand we totally ignore them when we clearly see each other in a public place and I decide to ignore you. I would hope that as a man, I would be respected better and be better at giving respect. I have heard all my life that it takes a real man to hear the real truth. I've come to learn that the statement is not true. It takes a real man to tell the truth. It takes a real man to communicate with integrity and clarity. Can we make a collective effort to speak with clarity and integrity? Can we be bold enough to clearly express our thoughts? Can we be mature enough to verbalize what our understanding is of what we heard? Can we love one another enough to tell each other the truth? Can we have conversations that are civil and respectful? Can we have straightforward communication? That was my blog on constipated communication. There's another one that I wrote, and this one was written on April 23rd, 2007. It says, one truth away from freedom. It says, this past weekend was amazing for me spiritually and mentally. I experienced a tremendous cleansing and revelation in some long forgotten crevices in my soul. All of this experience was initiated by a funeral church service, a Starbucks conversation, a radio show, which is KPFT, and a confession to one of my best friends. And in actuality, the truth really does set you free. The funeral gave me this. I attended the funeral of a 36-year-old black male. He was a friend of a friend, and I went to lend my emotional support. I took away the truth that every moment counts. No one remembers or mentions any of your tangible belongings. People remember what you said to them and how you made them feel. I learned that God never takes a life. He only receives the souls of those whose physical body dies due to natural ailing, trauma, or disease. There is hope beyond the grave. The church service I attended a church service on Sunday at St. John's United Methodist Church downtown. I went to an 8 a.m. service, which I never have done since not being a regular member since 2001. I took away the truth that sometimes you are just going to have to walk through some things. There will be no getting around it. The lesson and the blessing are in the going through part. I accepted the fact that all my actions have consequences, bad and good. I accepted the fact that hurt is a part of life, but healing is also just as much a part. Life's challenges and victories require that you walk it out. The radio show. I did a radio show, which is my show, Black on Black, and my guest was a new friend that I've made that I feel an amazing but uneasy attraction to. I caught a glimpse of what emotional bliss is. Working with this brother made me feel a good sense of nervousness. I felt entranced and focused, ignited and cool all at the same time. I took away that there are good, mentally and emotionally solid men in the world, and not only in the world, but in my space. And that is a good thing to know. The Starbucks conversation that took place after church. I ran into two brothers that I had met through the men's gathering of Houston. We decided to go to Starbucks for a quick 30-minute social visit. 30 minutes turned into 2.5 hours of deep, thought-provoking, mindset-changing, and reality-checking. In the midst of being transparent, these two brothers gently brought me down from my high horse, which had long died standing up. I took away the fact that I'm still hurt from what I believe was abandonment. I'm still hurt because I want to know why I wasn't good enough for the last mate that I had had at that point. I was still hurt because I want to know what was wrong with me that he couldn't love me, stay with me, and work it out with me. I realized that I dismiss people on a whim because hurting people hurt people. I know that because I'm still bleeding. I make others bleed too. Misery does truly love company. I realize that I'm not ready for a relationship when my heart harbors what it does. Love and hate cannot occupy the same space, and possibilities do not visit a home where there is no hope. Finally, the confession. I confessed to one of my best friends that I appreciated his love for me. I had made a mistake of repeating something that he had said to me I thought I could trust, and all hell broke loose. I told him that more than his friendship, but his forgiveness for the incident made me love him even more. I realized that his love for me superseded my faults and even my betrayal of his trust. He loved me enough to forgive me and not change his love for me. That is truly amazing. He loves me so much that he allows me to re-enter his life with the same freedom as before. He allowed me to get as close as I did the first time, which is what initially caused him that pain. His love for me has not changed, and greater than his friendship is his forgiveness and unchanging love for me. I don't expect him to forget what I did, and I have to face the fact that he may not be as open with me about certain information. That is the price I pay for my immaturity and lack of self-discipline. However, love does cover a multitude of sins. So that was the blog concerning that truth will absolutely set you free. And the last one that I want to do before we leave the air is somebody asked me one time, who am I? Who are you? What are you about? And so this last blog that I'm going to read was written on, let's see, April 18th, 2007. Is today April 18th? I think today is April 18th. So this is a year ago, and it's titled, I Am, So You Want to Know Who I Am. It says, So you want to know who I am? Sit a spell and I'll spill it out to you, how I came to be what it is you now see. This wonder, this phenomenon, born of mere mortals, eggs, and sperm. So you want to know who I am? I am an amalgamation of adversity overcome and attempts that failed. I am a mixture of complex, edifying, and objectifying emotions. I am a multitude of precious moments lost and split second decisions won. I am a fusion of fundamental rights and hard won fist fights. I am an assortment of times, places, and nameless faces. I am a combination of fear and love. I am a blend of bold moves and procrastinating moods. I am a union of unresolved issues and masterfully fixed glitches. I am a merger of anger, rage, peace, and comical release. I am an incorporation of joy, pain, and a will to maintain. I am a blend of grace, mercy, favor, and a tendency to waver. I am a premutation of flesh, bone, heart, of stone, and mercy shown. I am a pattern of lies, truths, hurts, pains, and gains. I am a mismatch of inadequacies and vanities. I am a recipe for hope, despair, and worries about losing my hair. I am an arrangement of lust, desire, cuddles, and caresses. I am a collection of dreams, actions, and dead-end thoughts. I am a cluster of empty sex, unprotected sex, safe sex, and transcending sex. I am a faction of friend and foe. I am all of this and more, but who is keeping score? I am, of course, and in the course of telling you who I am discovering that I become even more. So you want to know who I am? Sit a spell and I'll spill out to you how I came to be what it is that you now see. This wonder, this phenomenon, born of mere mortals, eggs, and sperms. So you want to know who I am? And with that, I leave you with Black on Black on this evening. Thank you for allowing me to share with you some of my experiences, some of what's in my heart, and I encourage you to be the best that you can be. But I would like to leave you with this one last song from Rashawn Patterson, and this is what we'll exit with. It's called Stars, and each one of us is a star, and we are all allotted a certain amount of time to shine. So you need to shine your brightest for your longest, and make sure that you shine on other people most importantly. Thank you.
Stars, they come and go. They come fast, they come slow. Like the last light of the sun, all in a blaze. And all you see is glory. But it gets lonely there, when there's no one here to share. We can shake it away if you hear a story. People lust for fame like athletes in a game. We break our collarbones and come up swinging. Some of us are down, some of us are crowned, lost and never found. And the ones who gave the crown have been let down. We try to make amends without defending. Stars, they come and go, coming fast, coming slow, like the last light of the sun, all in a blaze. And all you see is glory.
Coming fast, coming slow, like the last light of the sun, all in a blaze. And all you see is glory.
Whoops.
That's Sean. That's not true.
Had to. Shh. Hey, the mics are on. Who was that? That was Kelly O'Hare with.
That sounds great. We're all shushing each other as we're going on air.
Make someone happy. Hey! This is After Hours Queer Radio with Attitude. Thank God the mics weren't on.
Yes.
It gives us something to talk about.
This is our pledge drive. We need for you to call in at 713-526-5738. Oh, here's a cutesy little song we'll play. We'll dedicate this one to Sean. So let's play here. It's D.C. Anderson. And the title has a couple asterisks in it. So, my ass looks fantastic. And this is After Hours. 713-526-5738.
Of God's grace, I caught a glimpse of myself departing, and the sight is now burned in my mind. From the front, I may not be Adonis, but I'm blessed with a fabu behind. After all this elastic, my ass looks fantastic. Why hadn't I noticed before? Well, my belly's already, my butt is born ready, although modesty mandates soft core. At the gym, one can make so much progress, and it's hard to assess day to day. And the truth is, like potters or sculptors, it all depends on the grade of the clay. To carry the metaphor further, I've got Play-Doh for arms and for gut, but I sit on the highest grade of marble, and what's more, it appears it's recut. I focused my flexes on quads and on pecs with little attention to glutes. Who knew my midsection was home to perfection? I'm blessed with a couple of beauts. Under all this acrylic, my ass is idyllic. Why hadn't I noticed before? If I just read their faces, those envious traces, and my tush follows me out the door. So now, when someone says, "Wow, what an ass," I humbly say, "Thank you."
That was D.C. Anderson. My ass looks fantastic. Definitely, I think a song you're only going to hear on After Hours. I think Queer Voices would try to touch on that one. And we had a good little bit of music interlude. We disturbance in the force. You're listening to After Hours, Queer Radio with Attitude. And we're in week one of our pledge drive. And we need your pledge of support. We've been here for 20 years. Jimmy's been here for most of them. I've been here for a little over half of them, as far as we can tell. And we need to be able to show to management that a program like ours is worthy of the time we get. And sometimes, you know, we may screw around a bit and have too much fun and may not seem it. But we're here for you. We're here for the listeners. We're here for those kids sitting at home listening on a Walkman in the closet, physically in the closet. We're here for our MBBs who are trying desperately to hear us. Hopefully they can. To know that there's someone out there who understands where they're coming from and what it's all about, and giving them a little bit of support to them, and in return we need your support. 713-526-5738, 713-JAM-KPFT. You can also go online to kpft.org, place your pledge of support there safely and securely. Just put down in the comments area that you're giving it for After Hours. And we're going to just put a little bit more music in your ear. We're going to get ready for Roundtable, and we're going to be talking a little bit about California, you know, those wacky Californians and what they're doing. So let me just reach back here and... Oh, I see something I reach back and grab. let's see here. We should be in a bluesy mood tonight. All the music we've been playing is slow and seductive.
Turn it up a notch.
Let me do? I was going to keep going. Oh, let's...
Get some good dance music.
Here we go. We need a little queer punk, huh? So let's do a little Pansy Division. And Who Treats You Right. And, like I said, a little bit of music before we get ready for Roundtable.
Into sports, looks good in shorts, but you're just another game to him. I've seen his type, seen him all my life, always pulling for the side that's winning. You need someone who cares, so don't look over there. I can show you what you've been missing. Who treats you right? I do, baby. Who treats you right? Everybody seems to look your way.
We're back.
Oh!
I was playing a little bit more music.
I like that. I like that.
A couple of Pansy Divisions. Uh-huh. Just really, we've been playing kind of fairly slow stuff here tonight.
Yes, we have.
So we need a little pep in it.
Okay. Works for me.
So we played Pansy Division, Who Treats You Right, followed by...
Pretty Boy.
Yeah, okay, I wasn't sure. For some reason, that the second part of the title I don't remember hearing. So, yeah, no screen captures, please. Oh, bother. All right. We have our first pledge in.
We do.
Yes. We want to thank our. Oh, you're going over to your side.
Yeah. Who do we need to thank?
Someone with a very familiar name around here.
Oh?
Christopher.
Hey, thank you, Christopher. Sorry.
Pump yourself up too high.
Sorry. Thank you, Christopher.
I have no idea what our goal is.
I don't know either.
I'm afraid to look.
Yeah. So, if you want to be our second, that number would be 526-5738.
713-526-5738. I was about to say, you know, nowadays you do have to put an area code in front of that.
713. I usually just say 7. You know, people know it's 713.
I know, but you're used to, you know.
Yeah, I'm used to the truth.
Giving it all the words.
Yeah.
You
know. Yeah. Of course, in the old days, that would have been... That would have been Jackson 6, 5738.
As opposed to BR 549.
Or 713 Jam KPFT.
What's the LSD version?
LSDU?
No, the phone number for the station in LSD. There was an old way of saying it.
LSDU.
713-526-5738.
What are you talking about?
You used to say they used to give, instead of Jam KPFT, or something with the word LSD in it.
LSDU, which is 5738.
Okay.
Yeah.
713-526-LSDU.
Yeah.
Okay. That's what I was trying to get at.
LSD University. That's KPFT.
And
yes,
Chris,
indeed.
Chris wanted somebody to come in and say, absolutely, to the listeners who are listening and heard his rhythmic poetry.
Yes.
He can say the word permutation.
Of course he can. That was just a dramatic effect.
Okay.
To keep the pace going.
He blamed it on his allergies.
Okay, well.
Yeah, whatever.
Anyway, After Hours has been here for 20 and a half years.
Which is longer than most of the members of our crew here.
Yes.
Oh, God.
Yes, most of them aren't that old.
And many of them act even younger.
Amazing. The station has been on the air for 33, and After Hours, 33 years. 38 years. 38 years, that's right. Started in 1970.
You've got the extra bumps.
So we've been here more than half of it.
And we'd like to stay for the next half.
We sure would. We sure would. But that can only happen with your pledge of support. We have a goal. It's very modest.
Unlike the people on our show.
They realize that... Damn, everybody's very modest in there.
We save it for after the good pledge drive.
Oh, okay.
That's when we get immodest and. La 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 la. Oh.
Are you trying to say we're not having naked radio tonight? Oh well. Okay. But you know the type of programming you get here, and at After Hours, and half of our listeners are straight people who want to tune in and see what those crazy gay guys are doing this week. Yeah, exactly. So, to keep us going, we need your pledge of support. The station realizes that the shows from midnight to 6 have a don't have as big a listenership as the daytime shows, so they don't expect us to bring in as much money as the daytime shows, but we need to bring in something.
Yes, and, you know, comparatively speaking to what's going on at night in other... with all the stations,
mm-hmm.
you know, we do pretty well.
We do pretty well.
You
yes.
know, we have a pretty good listenership out there, but we need for you to call in at 713-526-5738 because we don't subscribe to Arbitron.
No, we don't.
And you know,
anymore.
The best way that they can the station finds out that people are listening and that the message that we're doing is something that you want to hear and that you approve of.
Mm-hmm.
is by calling in your pledge of support. And that's 713-526-5738, 713-JAM-KPFT, or you can go to kpft.org, place your pledge on there safely and securely.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You put a little note in there saying that you're supporting After Hours, and we get credit for that.
Yes, we do. Or, you know, give us a call. It takes 90.1 seconds to fill out the pledge form. And we have folks, we have at least one person out
yes.
there ready to answer the phone. And a lot more if many of you want to call at the same time at 713-526-5738. Here at After Hours, we bring you 3 hours of queer life every week.
Unfiltered.
That's right.
Unedited.
That's right.
Unabashed.
Unstructured. For the
unbalanced
most but
unadulterated,
you know, we've got monthly segments.
Underpants. Oh, I'm sorry.
Okay.
But you know, we have fun, we do entertain. We're going to be coming up here in a little bit here and talking with our roundtable discussion,
mm-hmm.
Some of the news and events that come on around.
Yeah, especially the new thing in California.
Wacky California.
Oh, I love that.
We do have to let people know that you're listening to After Hours, Queer Radio with Attitude on listener-sponsored, commercial-free Pacifica Radio for the Gulf Coast. KPFT Houston, 90.1 FM, 89.5 Galveston, and always the World Wide Web at kpft.org. Unless you're finding a phone call to Dwayne, then we are dead air.
What?
I'm Sandy.
There we go. Yeah. But we do bring you 3 hours of queer life. We have different segments that come on once a month from so many different aspects of the queer community, from leather to transgender, black on black that we had tonight, teen segment that you hear at the first Saturday of every month.
Bisexuality. And the world famous and infamous spirituality and sexuality segment.
Yes. Infamous is right.
And you know, the shows we do can rub you the wrong way. They can stroke your ego. They can give you happy times. But that's what we're here for.
We're here for that. We are here to give you that happy ending.
My tongue firmly in cheek. I won't say which one.
That's but, right. Whose cheek is that?
But we do need for you to call 713-526-5738. 713-JAM-KPFT. Or once again, like I said, kpft.org.
Mm-hmm.
Sign in and call in what we call the Cocktails for KPFT.
Excuse me?
Give up one drink a month for KPFT. That's $5 a month.
Well, I'm just a Diet Coke guy, so that would be, depending on the bar, anywhere from $1.50 to $2.
Okay, well then give up 2 Diet Cokes.
I can give up 2 Diet Cokes.
For KPFT, it's $5 a month.
Uh-huh.
That comes to $60 a year.
Hey!
Pretty easy.
And I think you get something for that.
Yeah, there's something you get there.
Yeah.
A shirt or a mug or something. Here, the book's there.
I don't know.
The book's in front of you. There's Jimmy, the green binder.
The green binder.
The green binder. There you go.
And I'm handing it to him.
A reading from the green binder according to KPFT. Oh.
That's right, because I'm old and, you know, my eyesight isn't what it used to be.
What are you talking about? Look at me.
Your glasses are thicker than mine.
30 years of masturbation and 2 years of diabetes. I'm lucky I can see you right
my
now.
My God, you must have to shave your hands every day.
Like my mom would say when I came home the first time from the eye doctor, one eye was weaker than the other. She told me, use the other hand for a while.
Oh, she did say that.
Yeah. I got her back when she went to the doctor and he told her the same. Told her that one eye was weaker than the other. I turned around and said, you use the other hand for a while.
Uh-huh.
60, you'll get at least one of the KPFT tote bags.
Oh, hey, that's a cool thing.
KPFT gift. $6, you can also get the KPFT logo t-shirt.
My friend Judy has two of them, as a matter of fact.
That must mean she pledged $75
hey.
To KPFT. You pledge 100, you get five of them.
Wow.
We also, do they have the cranker still? I don't see the cranker in here anymore. There's also the special from the Vault series. You get 8 CDs, it's 100 shows on MP3 format. That's for a pledge, I believe, of $100. I don't know. We'll find out on that one. But like again, I said 713-526-5738, 713-JAM-KPFT. And let's organize and get things together. We've got some music. Grab something to play, and then we'll get people in here for a roundtable talk. Something, anything. We don't really need mood music. We seem to be in the mood already.
You can say that again.
Hedvig.
Yeah, something for Hedvig. Hedvig and the Angry Inch.
Hey, we played Angry Inch last week because we had a... You know me. When I play a lot of music, there's themes to it.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. And so we...
Wig in a Box. I love Wig in a Box.
Yeah, I didn't play that one last week because I played it during our
tribute. Oh, you did?
No, I didn't.
Oh.
I played The Angry Inch because we had a tribute to Penis.
Tribute to Penis, huh?
Uh-huh.
I was doing the same thing last weekend.
Okay, on that note...
Pull the weight down from the sea. Okay, everybody.
Put on some makeup. Turn on the 8-track. Now I'm pulling away down from the show.
Enough.
time I saw you, we just split in two. You was looking at me, I was looking at you. You had a way so familiar, I could not recognize, 'cause you had blood on your face, I had blood in my eyes. But I could swear by your expression that the pain down in your soul is the same, the one down in mine. Oh, that's the pain that cuts the straight line down through the heart. We call it love. We're wrapped arms around each other.
Double shot of Hedwig and the Angry Inch, and that was The Origin of Love. Started off with Wig in a Box, and this is After Hours. Be careful, your mics are on in there.
If you say so.
Oh.
Thank you, sir.
Actually, only Merlin's was the only one. It was early on, technically.
Well, I can hear myself.
Yeah, I had to turn up the... They were on, but the were down real low.
Ah.
There's a lot to be scared around here.
Yeah, I just got a pretty good fright myself.
I didn't hear you complain.
Well, there's nothing to complain about.
Yes.
This is After Hours, and once again, we're still asking for your pledge of support at 713-526-5738, 713-JAM-KPFT. Get us a little closer to our goal. And so we're going to do our round table. I don't know where my cohort in crimes are.
They're out messing around with each other.
Well, let's see. Jimmy's digging through the... You're not a cohort in crime, and that is a crime against nature.
But Chris, you know you love me.
To death, and I hope it comes quickly. Let's see.
Say it again.
Let's see. Jimmy's looking through all the free stuff in the back, and there's four guys in the backpack.
I want to see what we got.
No, it's not food, so you're not going to be interested.
Oh, no. You can't really.
I know it was wrong, but it was so right.
Yes, it was.
The only thing he's after right now is little boys.
Let's see. The big news of the week. The Supremes of California.
The California Supremes.
Overturned the state ban on same-sex marriage 4-3. Oh, so it was a little tighter than I thought.
I didn't even realize
that.
Yeah,
unfortunately.
Well,
it's
that,
not
right.
Quite over. I mean, this is kind of a temporary thing.
Oh, it's
yeah,
never
that's what
over.
That's what I read. That
it's never over until some idiot decides to put up a referendum on a state constitutional amendment.
The court ruled that it is a violation of the state constitution to deny same-sex couples the right to marry, and that providing rights to same-sex couples through a separate system of domestic partnerships does not satisfy the state constitution. That because that falls under the separate but equal kind of thing, and that's what they're putting up as not satisfying the state constitution. They expect that the opposition
will put forth an appeal to
an amendment to the voters, and right now it's kind of 50-50.
But Arnold Schwarzenegger said, as I have said in the past, I will not support an amendment to the Constitution that will overturn
Why am I sounding more like Ted Kennedy?
I know.
Yeah. Especially
I was wondering the same thing.
Yeah, after the seizure, would overturn the state Supreme Court ruling.
That was an Austrian Ted Kennedy right there.
So the governor is not going to stand in the way of this.
Finally, the governator does something smart.
Yeah, that's kind of the way I looked at it.
But, you know.
This is pretty exciting. Let's remember,
the man did marry into a very Democratic
because, you know, now that we have Vermont and Massachusetts, and now if we get California, that's a big state with a big population. And that will help boost the gay marriage for other states to follow.
And, but then again, you remember, this is going to have to go through several appeals. Mm-hmm. You know, the next step will be the...
I say gay marriage, I mean same-sex marriage.
I mean, this will have to go to the Ninth Circuit,
mm-hmm.
is who will get it first, which is very, very liberal. And then eventually this will go up to the Supreme Court.
If they, I don't know that the Supreme Court would even choose to hear this case, because then they have to go that, you know, there's that thing about states' rights, and marriage comes under states' rights.
Yeah,
but then I mean,
however, there is a federal law that marriage is.
Defense of marriage.
Yeah, that's right. The marriage is only for a man and a woman. So that would put the Supreme Court right in the middle of that. And I don't think they'll hear the case.
But if the Supreme Court, you know, if they dared to jump into that fray, would a decision by them then trump the state constitutions?
Well, as
yes, it would, because yeah, it just would. Like in the Lawrence versus okay. Texas... that made automatically when they made that when they made that ruling, that made sodomy legal in all states.
Right. I was wondering if that also included because I mean, you can make a law in any state, and then if the Fed trumps it,
mm-hmm.
well, this,
but
yeah.
but I wondered if that also meant. Any law made by it that's put into a state.
Well, that's the difference.
Which is
what was passed in California was a referendum, so it was not a constitutional amendment mm-hmm. banning gay marriage.
Right.
So, under the state constitution, if I'm understanding correctly from what I've read and heard,
okay.
So it's a state law, and the Constitution of California says you can't discriminate against gay people,
mm-hmm.
and. That law then would have been, was the same-sex marriage referendum, anti-same-sex referendum, was overturned because it violated the California state constitution of non-discrimination. Is
right.
where it came from.
Exactly.
Now, if they push forward, and depending on how California has their rules for putting a constitutional amendment,
mm-hmm.
if it goes in as a constitutional amendment, then it's a different story because it's part of the constitution, then it's not unconstitutional. That's why there's the push on the federal level for putting in, for taking DOMA and turning it into a constitutional amendment, mm-hmm. so that you can't use the argument that it's unconstitutional because it's a part of the Constitution.
Yeah. And the other part, the second part, is I think even the more important one, that the providing rights to same-sex couples through a separate system of domestic partnerships does not satisfy the state constitution, which means yeah. that's the opening of the door for same-sex marriage. Because what they're saying is that even though you have domestic partnerships, that's a second-class citizen
yeah.
type of thing to
yeah.
to marriage.
Yeah.
And that is discrimination.
See, that's what I've been screaming for the
yeah.
longest time, is that anything... I don't give a horse's hair what... whether they want to get married or not.
Mm-hmm.
That's not the point. It is the right there, too. You know?
Mm-hmm.
If there's, you know, if there's a 500,000 queers who don't want to get married, fine. I think, but the word, and I don't buy the arguments, you know, the sanctity of marriage arguments, because And I don't buy the argument that, you know, that it's causing, that, you know, this issue, the gay issue, is destroying anything because, well, there hasn't been gay marriage up until now.
Right.
And straight people have been destroying it.
On their own.
Have been quite well. Quite well on their own at a rate of something like 54% of marriages go south.
We're not talking about Australia.
And we're not talking about Australia.
They don't need any help from us.
In rather brilliant fashion. They don't need any help from us.
Well, you know, I've made the comment before. You know, I'm not a supporter of gay marriage because I think we should strive to something better than a 50% failure rate.
Yeah, there you go. Exactly.
But, you know, it's to each his own. You know, mm-hmm. You know, everyone has a different connotation of what they bring into what marriage is.
Yes.
Because, you know, I come from a very, I guess we'd have to say, for nowadays, an untraditional family.
Yes, yes, absolutely.
My parents met in high school and are still together. Why? I have no earthly idea. I've asked my mother. She can't come up with an answer.
That's pretty sad.
They've been together for 40, 41 years.
Mm.
You know?
Through thick and thin.
Well, you know that old joke about that ancient couple who'd been married for like 70 plus years, and somebody asked them to what they owed the longevity of their marriage, and the wife pipes up with hate. Neither one of us will give the other one the satisfaction of dying.
I've got one brother who has been with his wife now, well, let's see, since my niece is 9 years old, I would have to say about 10 years now.
Mm-hmm.
My other brother's been with his now wife for 6 years, 6, 7 years. So I kind of come from this untraditional stock of what's of nowadays.
Absolutely. Nobody's divorced in your family.
I mean, I have to go back, you know, a generation back. I've got my father has one brother who just got divorced,
mm-hmm.
and his other brother and his sister married divorced people.
Mm-hmm.
And on my mother's side, there's been one divorce. So I come from this weird stock of marriage is something. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a little more.
They took the till death to us part, literally.
Yeah. They kind of took the Huckabee approach.
The two surviving marriages in my family, because my brother Pete has long since passed away.
Yeah.
And he. Now, he'd been divorced and married, remarried, but my other two siblings who married, you know, they've both been married for more than 25 years. I was a ring bearer at my sister's wedding in 1979.
They're still together?
And they're still together.
Mm-hmm.
My oldest nephew is getting out of college this year.
Oh, my.
I met Stanley in 1978.
You know, they've been together forever, and you know they stay together for the most part in my family.
Well, that's what it is for most of my family. Also, most of them literally take the "till death do us part" literally.
Mm-hmm.
I know, like,
and "till death do us part" does not mean till one kills the other.
Well, yeah.
Well, in some cases, it does.
I mean, my great grandmother. I mean, she's been married twice, now. But she. Like I said, it was till death did them part.
No,
both of her husbands passed on willingly.
Oh, same thing. Well, my one grandmother, after my grandfather passed away, she got remarried, and I did want to tell her, you know, that according to what the conservatives think, that's not right because marriage is for procreation, and at your age, that's
not going to happen.
That's scary.
Yeah. I don't want to think about that.
And we're not talking
that.
YMCA either.
So, but you know, it's an interesting thing, and
like,
you know,
the tall one,
mm-hmm.
I think the interesting part of what we're going to be seeing here is I think his heels were killing him.
Yeah,
he took those off.
Yeah.
Oh, he's barefoot country boy again.
But I mean, the part is this: it's interesting timing for this. You know, we're 5 weeks away from a large amount of the Pride events.
Yes,
we
that's
are.
Right. Oh. which is my will be my 30th anniversary with Stanley.
You know,
congratulations, sir.
Thank you.
We're right in the middle of the presidential campaign, which thankfully, God bless the Mexicans who have kept gay marriage and gay rights out of the presidential race. It's all been about immigration.
You can get married. Same-sex couples, I understand, can get married legally in Mexico and also in Spain.
Yes, in Mexico City.
That's not America. America, they would kill you
North
if you
America,
got married to the same-sex.
It's not all over Mexico. It's just Mexico City. That,
oh, it is?
Yeah.
And this is kind of interesting because San Francisco is the epicenter of the gay life.
Yeah, all of a sudden, Gavin Newsom is a hero again.
Well, that epicenter moved to San Francisco because it did start over in New York.
Yeah.
News out of San Francisco on this is the ruling set off a celebration at San Francisco City Hall. As a decision came down, out-of-breath staff members ran into the mayor's office where Gavin Newsom read the decision. Outside the city clerk's office, three opposite-sex couples were waiting. Opposite sex?
We're waiting for what?
We're waiting at 10 a.m. for marriage certificates. City officials have prepared for a possible rush on certificates by same-sex couples, but hadn't yet changed the forms to ask the couples to fill out the name of bride and groom.
Ooh.
He was waiting on word from the state registrar's office about marriage forms and are working on getting extra staff members in case the city is able to give out the certificates to same-sex couples.
Wow.
Yes, at gay weddings, they don't separate into the bride and groom. They separate from the flaming and the raging.
Well, some cases you can separate it from bride and groom because one is always going to be more Nelly than the other.
The butch and the flaming.
And somebody might just be wearing a wedding dress.
Actually, there have been a couple of cases where guys have actually gotten married to another guy wearing a wedding dress. And I just never understood that. Now, if both of them wear wedding dresses, then I'm going to start freaking
out. Now, if I ever get married, I'm not wearing the dress. I'm sorry.
You don't have the legs for it.
I'm going to wear a dress.
But, Jose, you look good in pink chiffon.
The rest of it's going to be just, plain dress.
But they
should be pretty.
What if both guys are versatile? How do they dress?
Both in tuxedos.
Half and half.
Pantsuits. They wear it on the left and the right.
Beautiful white pantsuits. Wouldn't that be gorgeous?
Pantsuits. And then, what they do in that is it depends on what back pocket they put the boutonniere.
Mine's going to be the right pocket, sweetheart.
Gotcha.
Already lining up for the marriage certificate are Ellen DeGeneres and Portia de Rossi.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's
Ellen. Right.
She announced that on her show.
She sure did.
She's leading the pack, is she?
Same-sex marriage legal.
You really got to,
or else I'm killing.
And Melissa.
On some level.
I didn't hear about Melissa yet.
Melissa's
going to do it too. Huh?
Yeah.
Awesome.
You've got to love how just as far as we still have to go. You got to love how far we've come because.
No kidding.
Ellen is a hit show.
Yes.
And it just doesn't. And every so often there's a mention of Portia and, she's in the audience and stuff like that. And nobody bats an eye.
That's right.
And
that
it doesn't hurt that her mom's in the audience.
That in itself is unbelievable because she started out with this kind of weak sitcom.
Yeah.
And she finally came out and the thing died. And they thought, that's the end of Ellen.
Well, she came out in such a wonderful way.
Yes, it was.
I applaud her for the way she came out.
Absolutely.
And I don't know why that show died.
And then the show died.
Every show after, because every episode after it was all about her being a lesbian.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And it was like, what? Hello.
That's not what we
needed. And at that time, they couldn't be handled. In other lesbian relationship news, apparently Jodie Foster has split from her girlfriend of 14 years.
What? Yes.
Jodie, the National Enquirer.
I think it's very strange that they split up just weeks after Jodie finally admitted that she had a relationship with this woman.
And everyone,
how can you give something up that you've had for 14 years?
I'm wondering if the other woman was the one who didn't want to be so visible about it and maybe walked out.
Didn't
want to
be put in the limelight, huh?
Yeah.
I wouldn't care. I'd be flaming and proud of it, honey.
Me too.
Oh, well.
Hell, if I was dating a famous person, I would want to be out there in the middle of it.
I'd be like, oh my God, I'm dating Johnny Depp. Isn't that wonderful?
I'd be like, look at what I've got and what you don't have.
But then again,
I guess the money and fame.
You know, there is the you don't have the privacy that you used to have.
The minute you're famous, I mean, forget about it.
Hey, I wouldn't mind people trying to take my picture every second they could.
You might get tired of it.
She looks a little older than Jody.
Oh.
Well, Jody's no spring chicken, honey.
Jimmy.
Ain't none of them are, honey. Not anymore.
They got pictures of her.
God, looks like her mother.
Flip that around here.
Oh Lord!
Wow.
So.
That's a sugar mama. Honey.
Once again, we are.
Thank God they're separated.
that's really tacky of
us. But they've already had children.
That's really tacky of us.
Once again, you know, we are using as our great news reference. I got to send them an email letting them know.
Hey, as long as we get to make fun of everybody else instead of ourselves.
That we're using Tolaroad, .com
yes.
for our news and information tonight. Like I said, I have to drop them a note and let them know.
Ew, I'm blind.
For the love of
God. Sorry, Buddha just walked in here and showed her
belly.
Her head.
Do not denounce Buddha like that.
Is it time for another piece of music?
Don't insult Buddha.
Another piece of something. let's go through a little bit more in here. Cause, lovely little. You have to go to Tola Road for these pictures. Navy plebes mount greased phallus in Annapolis.
What? Who did what now?
Wait a minute.
I'll need a CD to play, Jimmy, if you want to play CD.
When we come back, I do have something to say about closet cases.
Okay.
Oh, well, honey, don't we all? I got quite a few things myself.
And somebody get the front door.
And famous closet cases.
Why don't you play number 3?
Why? Because the event's going on right now.
Okay.
Thank you for playing. It's time to get the front door. Yes. Oh, and be good. Mary's here.
Oh, somebody's got it.
The
Mary's
other Mary.
Here.
Oh, Mary's always here when Jimmy's here, but this is...
Number 8.
Oh, yes,
those are good pictures, too.
So we'll be right back with more Roundtable. Take this time to call in 713-526-5738. That's 713-JAM-KPFT. And place your pledge of support here to After Hours. Time now for the Kinsey Six. I pushed the button prematurely.
The Rose.
And it's the Rose.
Some say love, it is a river that drowns the tender reed. Some say love, it is a razor that leads your soul to bleed. Some say love, it is a hunger, an endless aching need. I say love, it is a flower, and you, its only seed. The heart afraid of breaking that never takes a chance. It's the metaphors we're making that pain the audience. It's a song for all
to desecrate.
Still let's sing it, okie dokie. But first, let's modulate. When the lyrics are too schmaltzy, and the notes are held too long, and you want
I almost played Hello Dolly, because for some reason this past week I've been singing that song a lot at work.
Who cares? Who cares? We swim in an ocean to come every day. Okay.
Oh, I can't believe you said that, Rob.
I can.
Like I said, I almost played Hello Dolly, because for some reason, I still don't know why.
Hello Dolly.
At work, I've been singing Hello Dolly.
What?
I don't know why.
How bizarre.
He's
in love with Dolly.
And the twisted part is, yeah, you know, I did it in front of the production manager a little bit. And originally, I was doing the Carol Channing version.
Yeah.
And he's like, I go, well, would you prefer the Louis Armstrong version? So I had to switch into the Louis Armstrong version, which is a big shift in volume.
Yes, it is.
Yeah. I got, four in one night? I think.
And that was by Mark Allen Smith.
Uh-huh.
From Dallas.
And before
a gay man from Dallas.
Before that was the Kinsey Six with The Rose.
The Rose. I love that version. I just love that version. I lip-synced that once in a show.
And like I said, I've been kind of scared. You know, I was thinking about some of the stuff that I'm going to be getting into, having to perform more.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like, I wasn't sure about doing stuff. And I'm sort of going through my MP3 player going, I can do that as a guy, do that as a girl, do that as a guy, do that as a girl.
Like, I know it. I know
especially
it.
Since my, you know, the straightest thing I have on my MP3 player is the Mamas and the Papas.
I thought it was going to be the progress bar. Out of this.
The only reason for that is because it's the soundtrack from A Beautiful Thing. Online.
The straightest thing I have on mine is Clay Aiken.
Honey, there ain't nothing straight about that boy.
Which brings me to the comment I wanted to make earlier.
Actually, there is something straight on Clay Aiken. Have you seen his hairdo lately?
Honey, that's the only
Jimmy,
thing straight.
The straightest
okay.
thing on yours is, what a flat iron is the progress part, Darwin.
It's every other part of his body that ain't straight.
All right, we recognize the gentleman in the blue dress.
The birthday boy.
Yes.
You know...
Spit it out, Merlin.
The whole outing thing, you know, we may,
yeah.
There, when we perceive somebody to be queer,
mm-hmm.
who is a figure, who is
famous,
you know, famous
celebrity, okay.
a celebrity of some kind, we, you know, we have this border between people should come out on their own terms,
yes,
but. And while I believe that, I there's a point at which I'd like to grab people like a certain person who was just mentioned, former, you know, talent show runner up.
I think we're stretching the word talent there.
Yeah. But,
you mean Clay Gaken?
Yeah. people like that. I just want to look at while. Yeah, I respect people's privacy and all that. I just want to grab people like that and go, do you understand that there is power in numbers?
Mm-hmm.
That there is, that a lot of us would have killed to be out of the closet, you know, 20 years ago when it was a whole lot less... Yeah,
it didn't hurt the British runner-up when he came out.
No, and I just want to grab the boy and go, hey, you know, guess what? Welcome to the new millennium. The more of us who are out, the more the rest of the world gets a grip.
When it comes to people like Clay Aiken, though, who believes he's straight? Is there anybody? It's like Liberace.
Yeah.
Honey, I would love the phrase to that boy and show
oh,
us
I'm
like
sorry,
gay.
But yeah. There were a few gray-haired old biddies who were sure...
Who,
I know somebody whose mother was absolutely stunned by the idea that Liberace was queer.
Oh, please.
Anyhow.
I love Kathy Griffin's take on Clay Aiken. She said she saw his show in Vegas. She said... It is the gayest thing I have ever seen. She said, the organizers of the San Francisco Gay Pride Parade saw it and said, we're screwed.
Well, honey, he can have his own gay pride parade all on his own.
Well,
who needs everybody else?
Lisa Lampanelli said the only thing aching about Clay Aiken is his ass.
Well, honey, for a closet queen,
hello.
Okay.
Well, you know, for some reason,
but you get the point that
yeah.
I was.
Yes.
You
know,
it's the name just, of the river the boys are swimming in.
Denial.
William
Shatner and his brush with gay New York.
Uh-oh. Oh my!
For some reason,
this
they
is
asked gonna him.
This going to be frightening.
Asked him what?
Not as frightening as stupid.
Will Shatner talked to Page Six of the New York Post.
Yeah.
It was in the '50s. Shatner had arrived in the Big Apple and was treated to a taste of the old Times Square. Gay panic ensued. Shatner told Page Six, I was wandering around Times Square. And this guy said, I'm not even going to try it.
Yes.
This guy says, I'm going to Radio City Music Hall. Would you like to come? And I said, oh, yes. I thought, wow. New York is everything I heard it was going to be. We're in the audience. I'm a young, hot-blooded Canadian. Out come the dancing girls, a plethora of women. And I feel this hand brush up against my knee. And I thought, well, it's an accident. Then I felt it again. What the bleep? I got up and ran out.
Oh
my!
Yes,
okay, you know he enjoyed it. He's just trying to.
Oh come on!
If
you're in show business, mm-hmm. you're around gay people. Okay, get
time.
Over it.
All the time.
Oh please!
Those of you who don't believe it, go to the archive and check last week when we played Spock Sodomy Party.
Yes.
That's right.
Of course, this is also the same man who, when George Takei came out, said that even back then he knew that George was gay. After all, he always had his phaser set on fabulous.
Well, honey, he never had a hair out of place.
Yes.
Well, his trouble with Tribbles was the one on his head.
Well, fly her apart then.
Let's see. Well, that's because he was so flaming, honey. He couldn't keep it together.
Oh. But we weren't talking about the Enterprise.
Which Enterprise are we talking about?
Well, that's what I'm saying. It wasn't the Enterprise. The boldly was going, another ship.
Yeah, the boldly going where no other man has gone before.
I've been there and further, honey.
Excelsior, you know, his line to Christian Slater was, "Do you have a hearing problem, son?"
Yeah.
What?
Christian Slater's famous, like, 10 seconds in Star Trek history.
Yeah.
That was a great moment.
Oh, yeah.
That was... Really.
I'm trying to remember that. I'm trying to see if there's any more interesting stories.
What else did you find?
Good luck.
Anything?
Nothing really. It's
slow week?
Very slow week.
Wow.
No, that was slow week, not slow leak.
That's later.
We're not going to talk about dribblers up here.
Oh, why can't I be mentioned anymore?
But I thought you swallowed every draw.
Nope. That's an immediate withdrawal.
There's supposedly a new book on its way out, Hollywood Babylon.
Oh.
It will feature a gallery of well-endowed male stars from the silver screen.
Sign me up for my copy now.
It's due out June 1st. Among those featured in full frontal shots are Mick Jagger, Daniel Radcliffe, Ewan McGregor, John Malkovich, James Woods, Richard Gere, Gerbil,
Schwarzenegger.
Ouch.
Arnold, seen all those pictures.
All right.
How about Willem Dafoe?
We'll leave it to you to decide whether the snaps are authentic.
I haven't seen
Well,
full
my birthday is a couple days after that, so you can get it for my birthday. Yeah.
Johnny Depp was
cropping.
Johnny Depp was known as Donkey D, Donkey Dick, I guess, they say. Sean Connery posed nude.
Oh.
So he'll be in there. James Dean is going to be in that.
Ew.
I'll take Johnny
and
Depp.
The title of the book again?
Hollywood Babylon.
Hollywood Babylon.
Hollywood Babylon. There's already been one.
Well, it's called Hollywood Babylon, It's Back.
Oh, okay.
Is the second portion of that.
The sequel.
Yes. The new edition. All good things in Hollywood.
Every queen has that.
You
a
never
sequel.
Stand still until you've seen the sequel. And then, of course, you still have to figure out whether or not they're doing CGI for the magic.
I can show you some magic.
Please, please, please.
Pull a rabbit out of his pants.
No, I've seen that boy. He ain't got a rabbit down there.
Okay, leave my garden snake alone, okay?
No, honey, it's rabid. But anyway.
Rabid.
Now that I could easily believe.
His phone's mouth.
Well, apparently, United States is not the only one with a gay soap opera line. There's a South African soap opera which had a gay kiss.
Oh.
On it there, and
wow. Hey, All My Children has had
one
plenty of
moment.
Gay episodes.
Huh?
All My Children.
All My Children, All's World there. One Life to Live was actually the start of it. That was, you know, I remember back when Ryan Felipe played a gay teen on One Life to Live.
Really now? So do I. I remember that.
Way back when.
And I remember all the controversy over.
Yeah.
There's no controversy there. No.
Now
there was
a gay,
so much drama
there's
over
there's like
that.
A gay teen something couple on As the World Turns.
And there was a little bit of controversy because they haven't kissed in so long, and they finally kissed. Now they're giving acting lessons to people to learn how to kiss.
Oh, God almighty.
And supposedly one of them is boyfriends with an actor from One Life to Live.
Oh, yeah.
So why should they...
So you're saying he's gay in real life?
Why should they be any better at kissing on screen than most guys are off screen?
I don't need no god dang lesson for that.
Well,
I think I do pretty good on my own.
Well, I've heard tell.
I believe someone threw down the gauntlet there.
I do believe.
Okay.
We're coming.
I've got about five mouths moving towards me now.
He's a challenge.
All right, we're coming here close to the end of the show.
Hey,
he's,
Jimmy.
He's going to be bitten again.
No.
We have one other little bit of news we have to do.
What?
It's Merlin's birthday.
Yes.
Merlin is big 400. I mean 40.
Do I look like one of the McLeods?
No, but you look like the original Merlin.
Whoever wants to get his birthday spankings,
yes,
it's
I
all
turned 40.
It's your life. Online.
I technically turned 40 on Monday, but today was my birthday party.
A one and a two and a three.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Merlin. Happy birthday to you.
Wait a minute. Can we be sued for false advertising by saying, dear Merlin?
Love you, too.
I want to give a shout-out to my friend Chrissy, who's turning 21 Sunday.
Hey.
To a boy I met from Dayton last night.
Hey, y'all missed my birthday this year.
Wait a minute, which boy was that?
Austin.
Well, we'll give you your spanking in a moment.
No, it didn't come up yet.
Right.
Where's the fish at?
I'm still 18. I'm still 18.
All right, we want to thank Christopher for his generous pledge of support.
Thank you, Christopher.
And hopefully next week we will get more.
More. We need more.
Then again, you know, whenever we do really, really good, then we do something really, really bad. So, you know, maybe it's a good thing.
It's crazy.
Even
less how it works.
So, Yeah, I did mention that on the. You know, we may have to actually do that.
What?
That one guy who gives Taoist erotic massages down at St. Thomas.
Yeah.
We get some gift certificates and see if we can use it as a.
That's a good idea.
Hey, I do those for free.
That's a very good idea.
Like I said, you know, just a little something there to.
Okay.
We'll fill you in on the story later. You've been listening to After Hours, Queer Radio with Attitude, here on listener-sponsored commercial-free Pacifica Radio for the Gulf Coast. KPFT Houston, 90.1 FM, 89.5 Galveston, and always the World Wide Web at kpft.org.
Keep listening for Zydeco Pasale. John John is here.
And even though I don't have to play it, I'm going to put in a PSA just to kill some time.
Okay.
This and once again, 713-526-5738 to get in that last bit of pledge for us. What button do I push? That one.
The World Hepatitis Alliance tells us one in every 12 people on the planet are infected with hepatitis. Come join us on May 18th at Meridian Houston, 1503 Chartres, from 4 to 10 p.m. as the Heat Foundation and KPFT present Blues and Sea 2008. There will be food, giveaways, silent auctions, and you can listen to some great blues music by local artists like Sonny Boy Terry, Tommy Dardar, Steve Crace, 98 in the Shade, and more in honor of the first ever annual World Hepatitis Day. There will be no cover charge, and with free hepatitis screening on site, you can find out if you are number 12. For more information, log on to heatfoundation.us or kpft.org. KPFT Houston.
The free program you just heard was paid for by the listener members of KPFT Houston.
If you're not already a KPFT member, we encourage you to join with us in keeping free speech alive by becoming one. Basic membership is still $35 a year. You don't have to, but you'll feel better. Thanks for listening.